Greetings, everyone around the world. This is the Mike and Abe Show. And and it's the last weekend in July here in the United States and everywhere else, depending on your calendar.
Yes, it is.
Okay, different countries have different calendars. Okay, but most of our listeners are in New York City. And, you know, London, I understand we have some listeners, right, Mike?
God willing, yes. I believe around the world we do have a little rat pack of faithful devotees that we appreciate.
Yeah. So listen, what's going on with this fake news that you're telling me about?
Well, fake news is all the rage. I guess we don't really have that many reporters like we used to, like the Woodward and Bernstein crowd is kind of going the way of the dodo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one thing I blame OJ for, besides killing two people. I mean, that was bad.
Well,
and he just came out of jail.
That has not been concluded. Okay. Has not been proven. Okay.
In my opinion, I'm of the opinion that he killed two people.
We could get into a whole debate about that, and I'm not saying he didn't.
Good.
I'm just saying that unless it's proven in a court of law, he's a free man. Okay.
Well, let's put it this way. He's just coming out of jail. He spent 9 years in jail.
Right.
But the one thing is that he did is he started the whole point and shoot media craze. Like, he, when his trial came on, it was the trial of the century, and he got arrested, and he started a tsunami of so-called reporting where you just put a camera on a tripod and film. Not a lot of investigation, not a lot of questions, just this was the beginning of point-and-shoot media, and basically the beginning of the end for investigative journalism and real news, in my opinion. So now we fast forward to today, where everything is fake news. I mean, you have all these little websites doing these stories, and all of a sudden, it's like, wow, is that real or is it not real? And then you look at it, and it's just like some little shill site, you know, that just pops up out of nowhere and makes this pronouncement about how horrible things are or how great things are. And it's not like you could just go straight to your friendly neighborhood newspaper anymore. You really have to dig and sift through to get the nectar, to get the truth. But from our little slice of the world, without mentioning any names and without getting sued, I hope, I noticed that flooding into our little slice of the world here where, I mean, I'm out there driving a cab. I'm on the front lines. I call myself a brick-and-mortar guy. Like, I'm driving the cab to make a living, okay? And I keep hearing reporters say how horrible the cab business has gotten, how bad it is, and medallion sales are, you can't sell a medallion, and a blah, 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 blah. And I say, well, wait a second. This person never drove a cab. This person is not driving a cab. Then they go around the horn, they find somebody who's driving a cab to say, everything is bad, everything is horrible, it's all over.
Uh-huh.
And you say to yourself, from me, my personal standpoint, it was very bad a couple years ago when people from our industry, our drivers, were just vanishing and going to work for the brand new company, the brand new kid in the block called Uber. Now the drivers are coming back. And I don't see a lot of stories about how drivers are sick of Uber and coming back to the yellows, which statistically they are. And at the same time, I read another article that said, like, oh, the fares are down 9%. But from my standpoint, the fares are down 9% because this onslaught of traffic in the city of New York, you can't move. I mean, the fact of actually traveling to pick up passengers has been affected by horrible traffic. And from a cabby standpoint, the expenses to driving a cab per week are down about, I'd say about 20 to 25%. So on one hand, the fares are down 9%, but if my weekly expenses are down 25% because there's a shortage of drivers, I'm kind of in the same place at the same time. Now, the people who have been affected horribly are the medallion owners who basically rent out their medallions, and the equity of the medallion has had a big hit financially.
Mm-hmm.
The price you're going to get for renting a medallion to another cab driver has gone down substantially. But at the same time, there is something there. And they talk about all these people who are going out of business, and the credit, and there are three credit unions. Okay, well, some credit unions have been taken over by the regulators, But there are some credit unions available, and the only problem now that cab drivers have to address is it's becoming the Wild West days of buying a medallion for $1 million with $50,000 down. I think those days are over, and I don't even think those days should have been here, because it was a little fast and loose when you look at the big picture, and now that dog bit. So all this mumbo-jumbo coming down the pike as far as how horrible the yellow cab business is, I mean, don't get me wrong, it has been a big problem with all this the mess that was created by the TLC and de Blasio administration, but it has gotten better, and I don't see a lot of stories in the media bringing it out that it has gotten better besides the Mike and Abe show. So I'm just curious, from your standpoint, what do you think?
I know you're referring to a lot of articles, okay, but on the message on our message board this morning, a poster by the name of Yellow, okay, posted a story in The Guardian, okay. Did you happen to read that?
I may have taken a glance at it.
Yeah, well, basically what it's saying is, here's the headline, End of the Road, New York Cabs Face Uncertain Future in Wake of Uber and Lyft. And, you know, and they're talking about how the prices declined. And just like you said, they got a couple of drivers to go to talk about, oh, how bad things are in 2 years, or it's very soon there'll be no more yellow cabs on the road. And, you know, this is all BS, okay? It's all BS, all right?
I would say it's not 100% BS, but it's a good, well, I'm in a, my opinion, I'm like an, 80% BS.
I responded to this on the message board, and I also responded on the article itself, okay? And I'm going to write, I'm going to read to you what I wrote, okay? This is fake news, okay? This is fake news. Yeah. The medallions will never be extinct. They will just change hands at whatever price they go for. Stocks go up and down, and the New York City taxi medallion is a stock. It will rise again when reality takes over. The business on the street will never go away.
Right.
Is that what you're trying? That's what you're trying to say,
well,
right?
That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, I have had to adjust my game to a degree. Like, for example, one of the little tricks I picked up is I never used to sit in front of skyscrapers and wait for people, but there are a few skyscrapers in the city that have these big, like, gone with the wind escalators where the people come down, and you can see them holding their phones looking to see if there's a cab in front. And if there's a yellow cab in front, they don't call an app company, and if there is no yellow cab in front, then they call an app company. I've seen them, like, just like it's like a cat and mouse game. You see, like a group of people, like maybe 10 or 15 people coming down the escalator. They all have these crazy phones in their hands, and they look in front of the building to see if there's a cab sitting. If they see like four or five cabs sitting in front of the skyscraper, they're not calling an app company because the app company is going to charge double or triple.
Mm-hmm.
So they've gotten to the point where they're not a slave to these app phones anymore, and they're coming back to the yellow cab. And I have people in the cab tell me they're sick of the app company because, first of all, the drivers, I feel bad for some of these drivers because they got sucked into these stupid deals. But the people tell me some of these app companies with these car services, they say the guy smells. I said, they smell. And she goes, why do these guys smell so much? He goes, well, they smell so much because they're sitting in the cab and sleeping in the cab and probably living in the cab for 18 hours a day, because there's not that much business. Mm-hmm. They catch a morning rush hour, then they sleep in the car, then they catch an evening rush hour. So you're talking about a cab driver who's keeping it funky in the cab for 18 hours. And I tell him, I say, I refuse to do that. I go to a fleet, I get a cab, I go home. So that's one of the reasons. And you can see all these, their drivers aren't checked like the yellow cabs are. So there's a safety factor that these people are concerned about, because you don't know who these guys are, a lot of them.
Okay,
Well, look. But what you're saying is true.
Yeah. Okay. So what it comes down to is, you know, where is this all going to lead? Okay, I mean, you know, we got streets loaded with traffic that shouldn't be there. Okay, everyone, right. you know, pretty much everyone now agrees that it's the onslaught of all of these vehicles, these bogus vehicles, right. you know, mm-hmm. that are supposed to be saving the taxi industry from itself. Okay.
Right.
Right. But it's the, and all of these vehicles that are, most of them aren't making much money. Okay, the drivers don't last. The you know, and there's no end. That's really one of the problems. There's no end to the drivers or the people willing to become drivers. You know, when one falls by the wayside. Okay, you know, it's like they'll hire anybody. Anybody that can go down, sign his name, and get and you know, and get a license in most cities. And in New York, you need a an FHV license to drive either any FHV vehicle, including yellow taxis. Okay.
Right.
And
right.
You know, there's no shortage to these people. They're not being vented enough. Okay. You know, where's it all going to lead? That's the thing. You know, is de Blasio going to step up if he happens to win for mayor again? You know, which, you know, we're kind of hoping he doesn't, you know. Or are we going to get a mayor with a set of bees, okay, to go in there and you know, clean the swamp?
Clean the swamp, exactly. Hey, speaking of cleaning the swamp, let me just say the last word. Yeah. I got to talk about de Blasio and his polling numbers, which are a joke. As far as the fake news, you had one guy, to their credit, he was hammering away at the taxi business, saying how horrible it is. This is not this article. It was like a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And to his credit, somebody said, so-and-so has a position with Uber. And the writer did, in fact, mention that basically he had invested in Uber. So I'm wondering how many of these fake newsers, in my opinion, have invested in Uber a little or a lot, and where they're basically trying to propagandize their little position to help their investment. And I'm wondering the legality of that, where you're supposed to come across as this, truth-sayer and man of the people, but in the meantime, you're just trying to cover your ass sets.
Well, that's true. This is very true, and it even goes back to when de Blasio 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago now, you know, tried to put a cap on these Uber and TNC vehicles, right?
Which you should have done. You know, which you should have done.
And the celebrities came out of the woodwork to talk about, you know, to it's like, where did they dig these guys up from? These celebrities, you know, would that have popular names, who I don't even know who they are, but I guess the young people do. Okay. One in particular whose name I can't remember. Oh, no, you must not stop Uber. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
And, Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, him. Right. That's the guy. And what's his problem? He doesn't want to lose the $2 million he invested? I mean, or how much, however much he invested? Okay. That's really what it is. Okay. Right. All right. And true, there are yellow people on that side also, you know, medallion people who have invested a lot of money. Okay. But but we worked hard for our investment. Okay.
Right.
We bought into a government controlled, and there's nothing wrong with this, a government controlled monopoly, as they call it, which it really isn't. Okay. There are other vehicles that can car services that can work, you know, under the rules and regulations and the laws of the state of New York, okay, and the city of New York, you know, we're doing things by law, okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, if a law says you
we're
pay
the only one.
Right, exactly, and if the law says you pay us whatever the going rate is or whatever the going bid is, and they put a price on those bids, you know, the
right.
You know, the government, then we will give you exclusive rights to the people on the street, or exclusive rights to cruise the streets for passengers.
Right.
Okay. Or sit on the streets for passengers.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you know, it doesn't have to be a hail, and it doesn't have to be a hail by hand, so to speak. Okay. A
right.
high five, as one of our board members wanted to call it. Okay. All right. And it doesn't have to be a whistle. It just has to be on the street.
Right.
Okay. And that's what they've interfered with, the business on the street. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody should call them from inside their apartment, that's another story. Okay.
Well, I think the one thing they've done on the street, which is very annoying to me, is they're amateurs. So they're interfering with business on the street, and it's not even you're being interfered with by a fellow professional or a fellow experienced taxi driver or a fellow experienced limo driver. You're being interfered with by an amateur. It's like all of a sudden a guy, you go into a restaurant, and the guy starts walking into the kitchen and telling you how to fry the onions or something like that, and say, now I'm hungry. But, I mean, the point is they flooded the streets with these amateurs, and I just – and now you can feel it in the air. The pollution is horrible. You can actually feel the impact of an extra 60,000 vehicles on the street. And that's why I see when de Blasio was talking about, we have to get a green society and help the environment. It's like, you're joking me. You just put 60,000 cars on the street with guys who can't drive, most of them,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. And you put 60,000 cars on the street with amateur drivers. How are you going to help the environment? I mean, I'm guessing first you can't breathe, and while you're breathing, you have to dodge you have to dodge these little, I see little black Camrys in my nightmares. I mean, just everywhere you go with the black Camry, and then you see these huge, ostentatious black SUVs with the windows blacked out, and these guys are just group riding. They don't even have the big clients like they thought they were going to get when they bought these huge vehicles. It just blocks the city, and this is all de Blasio's fault. At this stage of the game, you want to take ownership for something, de Blasio can take ownership for the traffic mess he's created. And and by the way, I just checked in a little survey for de Blasio, and the incumbent mayor right now has a 43% of the people in New York say they're going to vote for him again for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So usually an incumbent gets 50-60%. He's getting right now 43%. So there's a lot of erosion in the de Blasio.
What has to happen is whatever other candidates are splitting the other, it would be 57%, right? Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Have to throw all their, support behind one.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And if they do that, mm-hmm. de Blasio's gone. Okay. He's out.
Well, I would say like there's going to be like a generic third candidate probably. So let's say the generic third candidate gets 4 or 5%. That still leaves a winning margin for anybody uh-huh. from the Republican party to come in. And right now, I'll tell you, I'm very upset that a lot of the Republicans, there should have been some more high profile people running in this race. And it's again with the fake news. They keep saying de Blasio, de Blasio, de Blasio. They figure they throw their hands in the air. It's like, oh, they're not going to beat him. He's an incumbent. We'll try next time. No, he's very beatable. And now you get the polls to show it. And a lot of guys and gals are probably smacking themselves in the head because it's like, oh, wait a second. We were told all this time he was going to get 50%, 60%. And now you come back and you tell me that, oh, no, he's only getting 40% at this stage of the game, this late stage of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been suckered once again by the fake news telling them that he's a lock-in to get reelected, and he's not. And we have to really circle the wagons and stick with people who are tried and true quality news people. And there are a few of them. They're few and far between these days. But I would say you and me, we're like one of the standard bearers for the good news because we try and tell it like it is. And we do catch hell.
What we do is we try to keep a positive side, a positive attitude. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna. Look, I have a lot to lose in this deal. Okay.
Right.
All right. But I don't.
You own a cat.
Yeah. I own a medallion. Okay. And a medallion that I worked 40 some odd years for. To keep it going. Okay. Is that like
sitting and driving for a sport? Not like writing articles, sitting in an office.
Exactly, sitting and driving. Exactly. Okay.
Right.
I would say this: there are a lot of great cab drivers in New York City. Okay, and if you want to say I wouldn't want to say I'm the best cab driver that New York City ever had, but I would doubt that there were a few that were better.
Right.
Okay. All right. Or so, or there may be many as good as I was. Okay. I'll say that. All right. I don't want to discredit anybody who believes that they're the best cab driver New York City ever had. Okay. Or the records show. Okay. But I worked. Okay, and you're a great cab driver, Mike. Okay, you've been around. Yeah. I don't know how many years. 30 some odd years, right? Maybe 40.
Off and on, I've been in here since the 80s. So off and on, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and I never worked full time. You know, I used to say that to achieve longevity in this business, you can't work every day. Okay.
This is what you understand, and this is what I understand.
Right.
I mean, luckily, I just finished something where basically a three-week staycation where I had enough reserve where I didn't have to drive because it was like, 4th of July and then summer, I had to do stuff at the house. But, man, I'm out there, and I had a little stretch where I tried to go out there like, 6-7 days a week. It's grossly unproductive to be out there to excess.
You should, this is the way I look at it, Mike, all right? Name one baseball pitcher that's in the Hall of Fame.
One baseball pitcher in the Hall, Sandy Koufax.
Okay, Sandy Koufax. Okay, how often did he pitch?
He pitched once every 4 days.
That's me.
That's you. You're Sandy Koufax.
I'm Sandy Koufax, but I did it for 40-something years, and I didn't miss many of my starts. All right.
Right.
And when I went out on the mound, I pitched a great game. All right.
Uh-huh.
All right. That's what I did. All right.
Right.
You know.
Let's jump into a quick sports thing.
Yeah.
Sandy Koufax was around during your heyday. Like you were a young guy when Koufax was on the mound.
Yeah. Koufax was late 50s, early 60s. Sandy Koufax pitched for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Okay.
Right.
And then he went to L.A. Okay, with the Dodgers.
So you were there when he started. You were there in Brooklyn when he started.
Yeah, I was in Brooklyn. I was at Ebbets Field. I did go to a few Dodger games when I was a kid. Okay?
Great.
All right.
Now, it's everybody hears about how famous he was. What was the impact in Brooklyn of a Sandy Koufax? He must have been like a god back then. I mean, he wasn't that great in Brooklyn, right?
I got to say this for Sandy Koufax. He was true to his religion because he wouldn't pitch in the World Series 1 year because he came during the holy holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay.
But
other than that, look, I don't remember Sandy Koufax that well. Okay. I mean, I have seen a lot of films of him pitching, okay, but he was a great pitcher. He had a great curveball, I guess. Okay, and he was equivalent to Whitey Ford on the Yankees. Okay, yeah, and I believe Whitey Ford's in the Hall of Fame also, right?
He sure is. Yeah, yeah. He had some great pitchers back then.
Yeah.
Lest we get away from we've got to keep the eye on the ball here for the Yellow Cans. That was my little rant about, especially, I guess you keep hearing about fake news for the politician, but all of a sudden when you see yourself become a victim of a hatchet piece that you perceive to be fake news, and when it's dropped right on your doorstep, it gets a little scary sometimes because you're up against this behemoth of media, which apparently they have investment and they have some blind allegiance to these, Uber people and other people and robot cars. You say, well, wait a second. It's not that bad. And you feel like you're just screaming in the wilderness to a degree, but at least we're here screaming in the wilderness for ourselves. I mean, that's the good thing about...
Well, I believe there's two things that are happening. Number one, they're being encouraged to write these articles, okay? And number two, they take the encouragement because... You know, when you're in the news business, as we've been, I've written for newspapers and so have you, okay?
Right.
And if you're getting paid to write, you got to come up with something.
That's right.
All right? You just can't, these stories don't come out of thin air.
Right.
All right. So if you're presented with an opportunity or an idea to write this or that, and asked, "Can you write this? Can you write that?" You know, whether it's true or not, you know, or they say that, you know, you can write anything you want as long as it's true. Okay. All right. That.
I think those days are gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, they can argue for how true these things are. All right.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, buddy. I mean, the one thing that I got to salute you is because you basically, what is your anniversary from starting the site? Like 2 years?
This website, the November 1st will be the third anniversary. Okay.
Third anniversary.
Yeah.
Third?
So it's almost 3 years.
Wow.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
But in that short amount of time, I mean, you got to say dollar for dollar, this is the best media investment anybody in the industry can make. I mean, because we're trying to bring stuff out to you. You post the articles right and left. We try and give you perspective with our funky little Mike and Abe show. And we have the message board, and we're going to really ramp it up. And now you have video capability where I don't know even how to approach that. But you've got some video capability coming up into the ad now where you figure out a way to do that. So it just keeps building and building, but that's our only hope. This is like one of our little defense mechanisms. And tell you the truth, I used to, and I think I'm like you, as much as we complain about it, I really do like driving a cab as a way to make a living because it's some freedom, you can make a few bucks, but just this onslaught of people attacking us,
yeah.
And that's the way I'm looking at it right now. We're under attack from people who never drove cabs, from people who are trying to wreck our business, and all this talk about immigration, the immigrants, so we have to defend the immigrants. Look who's driving a cab in New York. It used to be a place where the immigrants could come in, drive a cab, make a few bucks, buy a medallion, buy a house, and now that all has stopped because of just this, pardon, I guess the word is fococta plan with Uber and these app companies just flooding the streets with amateurs and unskilled labor and drivers, making a very dangerous situation so you can't breathe, you can't walk in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why de Blasio's only looking at 40% for re-election right now. It's going to be an interesting election, that's for sure. Go ahead, I'm sorry. I'm rambling around.
Well, Mike, you know, we said it all. You know, I mean, I don't want to harp on it anymore. You know, let's talk about some other great things, okay? What's good? Tell me what's good. Tell me what, you know, I mean, you know, how are the streets? You know, are you making money despite the traffic?
Apparently, I've talked to a few drivers, and I know what I'm doing. It's better versus worse. And the streets are good. And it's funny right now because we get a lot of our business are the visitors and the tourists, like the people coming in to the city, the tourists coming in. The people staying in hotels, and the tourists love yellow cabs because they don't know what that other crap is. They come in, and listen, we are one of the reasons tourists are coming to New York because they love the cabs. They're not coming in for all these weirdos driving these crazy scheme cars. They don't know what that is, and they're afraid. But the yellow cab has numbers all over the place, and they're happily jumping into yellow cabs. So we get the tourists, we get the people at Kennedy and LaGuardia, and the other stuff is just a mess. I mean,
you know,
and I just—it's very.
You know, I would still like to bring up an argument that we were making a few months ago, and I really, really, really want to see the rates put back on the doors of the yellow cabs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, I'm going to keep saying it again and again and again. The rates should be on the doors, and. That's it. There was something else that I couldn't remember. But the rates, okay, should be on the doors.
Right.
Okay, and the apps.
Well, I mean,
the yellow apps,
right,
should be on the doors. Right. Okay.
Well, this is the other thing, is that I know the city of New York, they by law tell these restaurants to put their menus in the windows. And all these people, every store in the city, you see 50% off or on sale or 2-for-1 hamburger special or blah, 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 blah. Why did they take the rates off the yellow cab? Especially with tourists coming in, we should proudly announce that there's a drop, it's a charge per mile, it's a charge for sitting in traffic. There's a nice rate. The rates should just be on the door. And I'm just trying to figure out why did they remove something so simple for yellow cabs? Put the rates back on the door. What are these people doing? I don't even know if they're stupid or if they're just incompetent, mm-hmm. or both. I mean, why? In retrospect, what moron would take the rates off of a yellow cab? They keep saying, we have to protect the public from being overcharged. Okay. Well, I guess maybe one way to do that would be to put the rate on the side of the door of a yellow cab so the people know what the rate is.
And so that these doormen at the hotels can't keep lying to them and saying that the yellow cab will charge you more than the $100 fake Uber car.
Yeah, well, this is another thing. Yeah. I've heard a couple of times, and I'm the guy who gets into it with the doorman if I hear fake news coming from a doorman.
Yeah.
He'll say, oh, no, do you want to take this car behind you? Because the yellow cab to the airport, it's going to cost about $85. I was like, hey, it's not going to cost $85 at JFK. No.
Right.
It costs $52, or if it's the rush hour, it's another few bucks more, plus the toll. Doesn't cost $85 to go to JFK.
Right.
I say, you don't lie to the people. I said, just like that. And they'll give me like a dirty look. It's like, hey, give me a dirty look. Well, I'm making the same money with a dirty look as I am with a happy face. I've literally seen Dortmund drag people away from me while telling them this. So my resolution for the new year is to go to every single TLC meeting and just say these things. Because apparently, I don't know who's going to these meetings, but they aren't saying stuff for the cab drivers, all right?
Because
I don't see a whole lot of pro-cabby stuff at these meetings. I see a lot of people jumping around doing handstands and suits and telling how wonderful they are. What about the cab drivers? Where are the cabby people? What happened to them?
Right.
You know?
Let me jump in here, okay? I know you're very angry because you're a driver and
you're damn right.
You know, okay, and your anger is justified, okay?
Thank you.
All right, but let me just throw this couple of thoughts in here, okay? One of our posters on our message board, Rob, who is the greatest hiding behind who he is, okay? We have all these guys. We have all these posters on the message board, but they're good posters, all right. I mean, you know, Rob sometimes gets a little bit out of line and says things that maybe he should be a little softer on. We know he's angry. We know he's angry, and he's justifiably angry. Okay, I believe he may have had his medallion confiscated, foreclosed on, but I'm not sure of that because he hasn't written definitely yes or no. Okay, but here he says that he's heard an ad from Lyft publicizing themselves as a taxi. Okay, Lyft says they're a taxi. You know, now the what we should do as yellow taxis is make people know that they're the only taxis in New York City are yellow.
Right.
Okay. Not let these other people lie and say they're taxis when they're not. They're just car services. Okay, they're cheating on how they do business. They're doing business as a taxi. Okay, no, they're not taxis. Okay,
right.
You know, you don't have the same protections. Okay,
right.
You take it from there, Mike. All right.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say the other thing I've noticed, which really struck me like, on a regular basis is their taxis when they want to mainstream these crazy little, I call them gypsy cabs. And then when there's like this horrible accident, they'll say, cabbie jumps the curb and hits pedestrians outside. And then you dig deeper. It's like, listen, that wasn't a yellow cab that did that. It's not a cab. It's some nut in a car service. So don't say cab when there's this major accident to sell newspapers, because that's what they do.
Yeah.
They say cab for every accident involving an FHV or a non-yellow car.
Well, here's what I find. And look, all cars, all of us have accidents and mishaps, okay? Be it yellow or gypsy or black, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or Uber or Lyft or whatever, Via, whoever.
Or Schmuber.
Or whatever, you know, we all have accidents here and there. Okay, But what the newspapers do is they call everything a cab, and when and then you'll see a picture of the car, and it'll be an SUV, okay, a black SUV or something, okay. But when it's a yellow cab, they make sure they show the picture of the yellow cab and say taxi.
Right.
Okay.
Now, perfect example. I didn't have time to investigate it because I'm always doing something. But they had an accident, a high-profile accident on, I think it was 84th Street and Park Avenue, where it said, a big taxi accident, a cab accident, a taxi, and a cab accident, a cab, a taxi. All this stuff. It's like, well, what happened? Oh, my God. You would think that the cab driver was a maniac or something. Then it turns out the poor cabbie is driving along, and some idiot, with the black SUV with the tinted windows, T-boned him when the cab driver apparently had the right of way. And it was all the accident of the person in the black SUV with the tinted glass, who, by the way, was arrested by the police for being under the influence of drugs. Now, this other person, they didn't go into detail, and they never go into detail, something like this, which makes me mad at the news media. They said the driver, who was on drugs in the black SUV with tinted glass, was 41-year-old, whatever his name was, and the passenger was 71-year-old woman who was shaken up. Now, if a 41-year-old driver had a 71-year-old passenger, I'm guessing there might have been some for-hire stuff in there. But there's no digging, there's no investigating. It's just a cab accident, and it's sickening. And I know mile for mile, we're the safest drivers in the world. And look how we have to make a living. We have to make a living picking up strangers off the street and driving them somewhere without knowing who they are or where they're going. We're like magicians, and we get nothing but hell thrown at us every day. And I'll tell you one thing, Abe, that you think about it, we are the best drivers in the world. You say you drove for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many accidents have you gotten out of in your experience where anybody else would have been dead?
I'm going to say this. I've had my share of fender benders, okay?
Right.
You know, not many, okay? You know, less than five, okay? All right, maybe six, I don't know. You know, but no one has ever been hurt in a taxi I was driving. Okay?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And, you know, the worst accident I ever had, I think I may have said this one time before, was I was sitting waiting to make a left turn from the north side of Houston Street, you know, onto, I believe, Worcester Street. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right? And it was late at night. It was around midnight. Okay, maybe 11:45 or something like that. Okay, and as I was and I had my wheels turned, you know, without moving. I had my wheels turned ready to make the turn when I had the opportunity, because there was traffic coming the other way. So I was waiting for that traffic to clear, when some drunk smashes me in the back, and because my wheels were turned, I went into the oncoming traffic.
Oh, man.
Okay? And and I got hit by a second car. All right?
Uh-huh.
Okay? Was that my fault? No. Okay?
No.
No. Okay? Yeah. But that's it. But nobody was hurt. I don't even recall if I had a passenger in the car. I don't think I did. I was just looking to make that turn. All right? Uh-huh. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And you know, it cost me a few bucks to get my car fixed. Eventually, I got reimbursed by the insurance company of both cars. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's something that I learned how to do by myself. Okay, I would take pictures.
Okay.
I would take the police report and everything, and then file a claim with the insurance company of the vehicle that I felt was at fault. And usually when you leave it to the insurance companies, they'll decide and they'll send you your money. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. You don't have to go to your broker. You don't have to do any of this. But with the taxi, you want to get it back on the road as soon as possible. You know,
that's true.
Right. You don't want to wait for the justice to come down or nothing like that. So you take a picture. I would take pictures, get the police report, fix my car immediately, get a bill for the damages, and send that all in to the insurance company file a claim, you know, with the insurance company of the vehicle that I felt was at fault. Okay.
Right.
And I had drivers that drove for me, and they had accidents also, you know, once in a while. All right. And right. That was how I handled all my accidents. I would say, go get the car fixed, get pictures, get the car fixed, make out a report.
Right.
Okay. And, I'm not telling others to do this, because if you don't know how to do it right, you don't do it at all. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But that's how I used to operate. All right. I was running two taxis at one time. Okay. They're going back into the 1980s. All right. So I had a lot of experience dealing with these things. All right.
Man, running two cabs off the street. Running two cabs off the street before you had the credit cards where you could get the money automatically. What a nightmare.
Oh God. I was not only running cabs off the street, I was running high and low after drivers trying to get the money that they owed me. All right.
So, oh, yeah, yeah. And, if the car, like, you ever got a guy, like, bear with the car, like, just steal the cab on you?
Yes. yes, that happened. Look, if you want to save this for another show, I got stories. All right?
Okay, so folks, tune in next week. We're going to talk about the bad old days of running cabs off the street. I remember one time at a gas station, a guy just, I don't know, he had to go away or something like that. So he left me his four or five cabs to run for 3 weeks off the street.
Uh-huh.
Man, looking back, it was like being in the middle of a sitcom. It was just like a sitcom, you know?
Yeah.
And some weeks you do very well, you make a lot of money. Then the next week you'd be just like giving it all back. It'd either be an accident or the guy wouldn't show up and the guy would disappear and not pay you and blah, blah, blah. So there were
Mike,
some crazy...
Mike, let's do a special show with taxi stories, okay?
Yes.
All right, don't go we'll into do. It now. Okay, it's almost time to go. All right, I want to thank some of our supporters, all right?
Yes.
Okay, such as Ron from the MTBOT, okay, mm-hmm. who would like to let everybody know that they should consider driving an MTBOT vehicle, Metropolitan Taxi Cab Board of Trade. Okay, and mm-hmm. go to page one in the homepage on NYC Taxi News, and you'll see his ad, okay?
Right.
And what he's saying is, for free, you can get defensive driving and wave training course instruction. For free, you can get online TLC application and renewal processing, okay, if you have trouble doing that yourself, okay? For free, you can get legal representation at Oath, Port Authority, Traffic and Criminal Court, along with the TLC.
Right.
Okay, and for free, mm-hmm. you can get experienced MTBOT staff members to work directly with you if you're having any problems. Okay, and...
Right, and that legal stuff is very important to the cab driver.
It is.
There's always
it is.
Something going on.
And the phone number is on the ad. It's 718-784-4343, and ask for Kanchan Das. Okay.
Gotcha.
He's the guy that's going to help you get started. You know, take your FHV license, get out of that Uber car that you're making no money, you know, or you're making $200 a month or something,
right.
and start driving yellow and start making money every day. All right?
Right.
Okay.
You know, that's a good point. I want to call back that reporter who did his Hatchet Job article on recently and say, okay, well, when are you going to do the follow-up article about how Uber drivers are making money? When are you going to do that article? When are you going to do that article about how horrible Uber is to their drivers?
Look at the article on the message board from The Guardian.
Yeah.
Okay, it's on
Guardian.
It's on today's message board. It's posted by Yellow. Okay, and read that article and see who wrote it. Let me see. I had it up here. Here it is. Okay, it was written by Edward Helmore. Okay, that's
right.
A cool name, Hellmore, because we should give him more hell. All right, all right.
He's giving us more hell.
Yeah, I know. Okay, and there is a link for him. Okay, you can click on his link. Okay, and I guess you could contact him somehow. All right, these other articles that he wrote, but that's all we need. You need to contact him, Mike. And
I should contact them and say, sincerely, Ben Dover. That'll be my
Ben Dover. You know, my name, Ben Dover.
Okay. Benjamin Duvier.
Okay, let's go back to our supporters. Your garage, Checker Management, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. You have that in front of you, Mike?
Yes. Okay. Oh, that's my cue. I have to talk about the wonders of Checker.
Yeah, right.
Checker. Buy your next shift at Checker. They're located at 11-05 38th Avenue in Long Island City. Their phone number is 718-361-6300. They also have a website, goyellow.nyc. Make it happen. Buy your next shift at Checker. And I tell you, Abe, they have a 24-hour garage. They're right near all the buses and subways. They got brand new Cab of the Futures. And like I said, they got little summer deals going for you. And I've driven there off and on there for like years. And I used to drive there when their garage was in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how good they are. I used to go to their garage in the middle of nowhere because they had great people, great staff. So you got to go check out the Checker situation at 11-05 38th Avenue, Long Island City. Their phone number is 718-361-6300. And when you hear, oh, my God, 38th Avenue, listen, literally they're right off of 21st Street. So 11-05 38th Avenue. And they got a little library in the corner. So if you put your license in, you can check out the library.
All of these places are, in Queens mainly, they're close by Manhattan, okay, such as WB Taxi, okay, who says he has the lowest daily shift prices, $10.99 weekly, okay, which is a great price, okay, and go visit him.
Where is
he? He's in 3511 43rd Avenue, Long Island City, which is right off of Queens Boulevard. Okay, or that, when you come over the bridge and you start going towards Queens Boulevard, Skillman Avenue goes to the left and 43rd Avenue branches off there, right?
Yeah.
And he's right over there, okay?
He's right by Queens Boulevard, off of Queens Boulevard.
Right, and right near the 59th Street Bridge.
And he's a block away from the 7 train, so if you can, have a 7 train thing going on.
Right.
He's very convenient for that.
Right, and his number is 718-729-7777. Okay? Okay. A lot of sevens there. Okay? 718-729-7777. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And if you're way out there in Brooklyn in the Bensonhurst Bay Ridge area, you should go visit King Brokerage. Okay? And he'll put you behind the wheel of your own car. Okay?
Right.
Well,
in Brooklyn.
Your own taxi cab car, I should say. A yellow taxi. Okay. And as he says, be your own boss. And purchase a new NV200 Way vehicle, and you'll earn an extra $35,000 a year in bonuses. Okay. And that's true with all the Way vehicles. Okay. And King Brokerage is at 6814 Fifth Avenue, and his number is 718-833-8110. Okay? And and I do want to say, if you want to see a really neat video, on the right of the Checker ad is WB's video. Okay? Click on that, and it'll take you to watch his video. Okay? And all of these websites, click on them, and it'll take you to their website. Okay? All of these ads. Okay?
Right.
And what to do with your money, you got to stay in... you got to be in good with the IRS. Don't cheat the IRS. Get Tony Tax. He'll do a great job in making up your taxes all year long. Okay, and he'll come
Tony
to
Tax.
You.
There he is.
Yeah. Okay, he'll come to you. 718-413-6126 for Tony Tax. Okay. And Mike, anything else? What else we got on the plate today? Or are we done?
What else do we got? I think we've, as always, we've covered everything. The summer is in full swing. It's August is right around the corner. I can't believe the summer's flying by.
Yeah.
And you owe it to yourself, cabbies and cab ants, to get out there and get some exercise and get some some rest and relaxation, and you know, try and live a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
live to work, don't work to live, live to work.
Yeah, and I just want to say this for all of the Taxi Dave fans. Okay, he hasn't been kicked off the air. Okay, but for the next 2 weeks, starting tonight, he will not be on the air because the Mets are going to be playing baseball. So they preempt them.
The Mets are playing baseball for 2 weeks at night.
Yeah.
So that's the reason he's off the air. And people are listening to that show. He's got the number one taxi radio show in New York. I mean, just in general, not even
in that time slot.
Yeah. Okay. Sunday at 8 p.m. he's got the number one show. So I was just amazed because he had real ratings coming in for Arbitron. And I think he just gets beaten by a few points by the 1010 Winds, which is like the huge news station.
Yeah.
But, man, people listen to the show. And yours truly is on there. And I always give a shout-out to Ape with his website.
Yeah.
And we'll be up the air on that show for a couple of weeks, but back hot and heavy for the next few weeks after that.
Okay, so Dave will be off the air today, which is July 30th, and next Sunday, which is August 6th, and then he'll be back on the 13th.
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, very good for reminding.
All right, Mike. So, let's wish everybody a good August, September, October.
Happy August.
Whatever.
Happy August.
Okay. Happy August. Okay. And let's wrap it up.
We will wrap it up. We're very proud of our audience. We want to thank all of you for coming in and helping us to help you, as the saying goes. So we're going to see you next week with our weekly update, and we're going to talk about then versus now. Like Abe, you said, we're going to talk about some of the...
I got some wild stories to tell about the things that happened with drivers that aren't, that didn't always do the right thing, okay? I mean, we'll get into it one of these days, all right?
We will.
Okay.
So anyway, I'll see you next week.
All right, bye, everyone.
Bye, world. See ya.